This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
This message will self-destruct.
What time is it, Danger?
It's time to begin the football weekend.
And as they say in Tinseltown, roll up.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Spray.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and t-shirts.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
Blue Foxo, Blue Foxo.
$3, ready?
24 Reno.
58. Rambo. 58.
24 Red double
Foley,
Red Foley.
Yes, here we go.
Welcome in on a Football Friday. Dirt and Sprague with you.
What is happening?
Will Ortner in for Jordan Schultz, who was in for Jason Swigard.
What's up, Ortner? Good morning.
Good morning. Well, there was confusion. I was always
I, for one, am shocked that there was confusion.
What?
On this. There's no way that could have happened.
There was an email that was sent about a month ago, and there was a response first, and then all of a sudden Whatever. We figured it out.
Was it like first come, first serve, whoever wants the shift can have it kind of thing?
I don't know.
How we handled it?
Well, look, Jordan's got a long day today. I'm just trying to help him.
What's Jordan?
I mean, you do too. Yeah, you got to do post game tonight too.
That's right. You're on the post.
They're both on the post game tonight. There's no difference. I'm going to be back in 4 hours while some people get a free day off.
Aren't you
doing good on a Football Friday?
Aren't you hosting the post game?
I'm one of them, yeah.
Yeah, him and Ryan Buckley host
Tune
the post game.
But Schultzy produces, right?
Yeah.
So why is his day long and yours isn't?
I want to be here. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, okay.
We appreciate that.
We were under the impression that it was me, and then all of a sudden stuff started coming out that it was Schultzy. So then there was confusion, and I was like,
really?
Yeah.
That's not the text I have from Jason Swigard, who has he goes from summer of swag to fall of swag.
To winter of swag. Don't forget that.
He's got pilots coming up, man.
He's got to get his vacations in, man.
He's got to go to Seattle. He's got to go to Palm Springs. He's living the best possible life. He can.
Yeah, he's living the dream.
And he texted yesterday, said, hey, hope everything's okay. Text Jordan. He'll be ready to go tomorrow. That was last night at 7 o'clock. And I said, Jordan's not in, actually. Yeah, Will is.
No.
He never responded.
No, I'm out.
Which is his way of saying, oh, God, I don't know what's happening, and I don't care.
I'm shocked that he sent you that.
Hey, we got that last night.
We just, like, Jordan and I talked about this last Saturday, where it was like, hey, I thought I was in. Why does the sheet say you're in? And he's like, I think he just copied and pasted the sheet.
He definitely
the last one.
I think he's getting ready for vacation.
Which is fine. Hey, dude, he shouldn't. He's going on vacation. You earned it. It's all good. You guys were going to have someone that was going to take care of you, and it's me today.
Well, I'm glad you're here to take care of us.
Happy Friday.
I'm excited. Yes.
We're here. Thanks.
What a weird day on the
radio station. Full steam ahead, man. Full steam ahead.
The weirdest day on the radio station, because you get us.
Yes, you do.
And then you get Colin
for 3 hours.
And then you get Danny.
And Rust.
Is it Rust?
I believe Rust is in.
And then yes, Rust right. for one hour. And then Dirt's back here.
And then I'm back.
With Anthony Newman.
From 1 to 3.
It's Dusty on that show.
No, he will call in. He is in West Lafayette.
Gotta have the call in.
We will get the boots on the ground report.
Have the boots.
What does it look like in West Lafayette? It is a game day.
Dusty, describe the scene right now.
Flat.
There's
a Motel 6 over there. Looks like a P.F. Chang's maybe around the corner. That's about it. That's all we got.
The lights on for you.
That's all we got in West Lafayette. Lafayette, man.
Water bottles in here. What is this?
I don't know, Bob. I don't know. But I hope everybody's enjoying their short days. We'll be here. Me and Will Ortner will be here grinding all Friday on a football Friday. Be here pulling doubles. Hamster wheels are spinning.
I got to go get my car, too. I got a rental right now.
Why?
Because I was driving on the freeway 2 days ago, and then all of a sudden my backup light, like camera, turned on, and then my check engine light popped on, and then the VCS system popped on, and then another thing popped on. It was a gong show. Yeah. So
everything broke at once. That's a good sign.
Well, you know what? We just like to fix everything all at once. We don't do anything halfway. We go all the way.
Can I bring up an issue that you're in today? I'm kind of disappointed. We started the show, and your shirt is still on. I thought you did these videos.
I have never done a shirtless video. They've never been
Big
shirtless.
Big Will's bets here with barely a tank top.
He goes Dan Lanning wife beater. He's a wife beater guy.
No, I lost and I had to switch up the mojo. I was 0-3 that weekend. I had to switch up the mojo and switch it over. But right now it's October. Look, I'm wearing pink.
Anybody that exercises has a little vanity. I think you wanted to do that.
Do you think that losing 80 pounds, 100%. Would want to show off my new hot bod? I would never want to do that.
No, you don't.
No. I wouldn't want to do that. I was doing that for the people. I had to switch up the mojo. I lost. Yeah. I had to find something that would work. And luckily for me, it did. Showing, a lot of skin works.
Well, I'm enjoying you being settled in at BetQL. I'm glad you've gotten more of a role there. Enjoying you having a great college pick season and just getting absolutely railroaded by the NFL. It's such a big difference. What the NFL is so unpredictable, whereas college is like, I'm taking Iowa State -12 against crap team. All right, that's a win. But good luck against the, pick a game. Bucks Ravens, good luck to you this week.
There's a reason why they do the NFL, then college, then they say expert. Yes. It's not college NFL expert. College expert. Also does NFL.
Also dabbles in NFL, yeah.
Yeah, we were kicking ourselves last night because that one felt too easy, and sometimes when they feel too easy, it feels like a trap. That's where we needed Ken Barkley to tell us, where is the fault here? Where's the trap?
Well, we didn't fall into it. Did you gamble on it?
Oh, I did. I mean, I gambled on it, but why didn't we spring the line on that game?
I put $12 on them to cover that number, so I don't know. I just don't know why I didn't spring the line on it. I felt confident.
That was an obvious pick. Yeah. There was no chance New Orleans was going to win that game.
You guys picked New Orleans?
No, Denver.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, we're all three winners.
Some people got that below three at one point.
It was like one and a half earlier this week.
Yeah.
How it was sub a field goal before kickoff makes no sense.
I don't get it at all.
That was such a bad football game.
It was a bad football game. I would argue the sports in general, like there was one game. The baseball kind of
Yeah, you had one great baseball game, one terrible baseball game, and a terrible NFL game.
Yeah.
Once the Cleveland-New York game was over, the night in sports was awful.
I have no idea how to mentally be ready for what this weekend is with sports. Is it going to be good?
I hope it lives up to the hype because I think this is the best combo slate we've had all season.
I think you're on to something.
For both Saturday and Sunday. We've had a great Sunday, bad Saturday. We've had a great Saturday, bad Sunday. This one feels like it's going to be a great 48 hours.
There's too many matchups for it to be a complete dud of a weekend.
And then there's going to be one random one you throw in that nobody talks about or looks at, a la Alabama Vanderbilt, and I just hope it's not my team tonight, but there's going to be the one that pops up. You're like, they're losing to who? What? How's that happen? Like, that will take place, and this should be a great Sunday of NFL football.
We'll get to your team at 7, but yep. I parked my car this morning, got out, walked into the building, and I don't know why, but this thought went into my head. Is it at less than 1% chance that Purdue wins? Because I'm kind of there. I know you're doing the Vanderbilt beat Bama, nobody saw. Yeah, if Vanderbilt played Purdue, Vanderbilt would win by 3 touchdowns right now.
I hate
to tell you that. Purdue is maybe the worst team in the Power Four.
Until they scored 49 in the second half last week, bitch. Look out. They're on a heater coming into this one. They're feeling good. Confidence is high. New offense coordinator, new quarterback. Look out.
Altmaier and Illinois is not Oregon.
The ESPN Football Power Index gives Purdue. You want to guess what percentage chance they have to win tonight?
It has to be 1%.
It is not 1%.
2.
Not quite 2.
4.
Close. 4.9%.
Yeah, good luck with that.
That's almost 5.
The ESPN Football Power Index is telling us.
Like the minimum Oregon wins by tonight is 13. And that's going to make Duck fam. Oh, we only won by 13.
No, there's not going to be any of that. We're coming off a win over Ohio State. I think people will be
still riding the high.
I think they will be like, just dude, I don't care how ugly it is. I hope it's not a four-quarter game. Just win the damn thing. It doesn't matter.
Did you see Pat Forty's article?
I did not. No, what did he write about?
I feel like you would be, this is right in your wheelhouse of, it's Friday. We're here for, the next game is here.
Yes, right
but
here.
Because they beat Ohio State on a primetime game with game day in town, there's been this like high that I've never seen in my life. Oregon's had great moments, very high moments, but like regular season, big time game, I think this one tops the cake. I don't know if people have stuck on a topic more from one game than this 12-man penalty thing. Pat Forty wrote an article about it.
What was his take on it?
His take is that Dan Lanning actually didn't do it intentionally and that he's taking credit for it because it benefits Dan Lanning.
Okay.
And he writes an article about this, and I don't know why it came out on a Thursday after that game. He says that in the press box, the Oregon coaches going down in the elevators next to the media, because that's how this goes.
Yes.
They basically were like ranting and cursing about how pissed they were that they had the 12-man penalty. And he goes, if this was on purpose, you don't get upset by a penalty like that. In fact, you don't even talk about it. But he goes, he thinks Dan Lanning is basically accidentally did it, but saw the narrative and just leaned into
just taking the credit for it.
Kind of the way he did with the Bama thing. Like, I'm not going anywhere. And it's like, well, I don't even know if Bama was going
to
hire you.
We'll never know. We'll never know the answer to it. But it got him a new deal and signed a couple of recruits out of it
and had
a really cool hype video made.
Yes, it did.
And this is great. This is a great PR thing for him. I'm such a mad genius that I'm making him change rules in the middle of the season. I am so tired of this story.
I couldn't believe he wrote this on a Thursday. I'm like, what are we doing?
This whole idea, too, that if he wouldn't have answered the question Monday night, that the rule wouldn't have been changed, I still push back against. This became a national talking point in the aftermath of the game on Saturday night.
Yeah.
This was a coast-to-coast, did he do it on purpose? What 12 men on the field, should it be allowed? This rule would have been changed either way, because it should be changed. Even if he didn't do it on purpose, it's a weird loophole that shouldn't be allowed to exist. And so you take the clock back the exact way they're going to do it inside 2 minutes. Like, I think they're going to change it no matter what. There is a part of me that it's been a little frustrating that that's been the number one story out of the game. I understand, I guess, why, because regular season games don't quite mean as much as they used to, and Ohio State is still alive and has a ton to play for. The fact that that was one of the best games of the season, and that was the main takeaway, one play with 10 seconds to go that may or may not have been done on purpose, and it totally disregards everything that happens in the 59 minutes and 50 seconds prior to it, little frustrating.
Isn't that kind of sports, though?
It definitely is.
Don't we sum everything up with the last couple plays of a game? We don't. How much do we come in and we go, man, how about that fifth possession by Ohio State? That second and seven call. Let's really dive. We don't do that. I don't know why we don't do it. I feel like we kind of do that.
I try to do it. The bigger play in the game was Will Howard dropping a snap on third down than the 10-second with the 12-man on the field penalty.
I actually think that Will Howard dropped snap on third and three as they had just picked up either a first down or two first downs. I thought that was maybe a top three play in the entire game.
Yeah, I think they had one first down. They had gotten out to near the 20-ish yard line after the fourth down stop.
That was the goal line stop.
Yeah, and they went shotgun, third and short. I think it was an empty backfield, and he just dropped the snap.
Good snap. Had
to fall on it.
Straight dropped it, lost like 12 yards.
Thanks, Will.
They score there. They're going up either six or no, they're going up either.
They had taken 13. A six-point lead. They were down by one at half, and they had scored the first touchdown of the second half, and then Oregon got stopped on the two-yard line. It was the drive after that.
So it would have been 13 or 9.
So it would have been a 13 or a double-digit lead for the first time in the game if they go. I mean, they still had a long way to go to score. But handing Oregon a short field allowed them to win on the fourth down call, because the whole idea of going for it on fourth and short inside the five is that you can still have good field position if you play good defense out of that.
Yes.
And so it ended up working out for Lanning, but they were incredibly lucky that he dropped a snap.
I was at my daughter's cross-country meet yesterday, and I got there early to set up, and I was next to a really nice lady, and her and her husband were helping out, and slightly older, you know, they were grandparents helping out. And she's talking to me, and we get to a point somehow where I find out they're from Ohio. And I go, oh, are you guys Buckeye fans?
You got some Buck nuts?
And she went, oh, yeah, we are. And then she tells me her husband played with Archie Griffin.
That's a fun little story.
Tall, big guy. I'm like, oh, man, that's pretty cool. And she's like, he was the nicest guy. And And she goes, yeah, we just moved out here. And I go, did you go to the game last week? And she goes, oh, you bet we did. You bet your bottom dollar we did.
Oh, shucks. It was a great
game. And I said, oh, this is such a good game. And she's talking about how she'd never been to Autzen. They had never been to Autzen. How nice Duck fans were. She goes, I couldn't believe it. Even when we scored and took the lead, everybody was still so nice. And I said, well, the West Coast, it's just not as big a deal for us.
A little more laissez-faire.
I said, you might also been in a good section because not everybody in that stadium is very nice.
No, there's a lot of drunk idiots.
There's always some drunk idiots at a game. And she just was talking about how beautiful it was, how awesome the atmosphere. They'd never been in a louder stadium, so that was some real stuff.
Yeah, thank you, Buckeyes.
They'd never experienced that kind of noise.
They got too many blue hairs on the west side that are drinking wine spritzers, man.
They do, and I found it really funny. And then I talked to her husband a little bit, and he was a little more sportsy. Like, yeah. Offensive pass interference call. They weren't calling that all game. And I go, you're not wrong. It was interesting when that was called. He's like, yeah, it was not a clear push-off.
I mean, it was, but thank you.
But it was just funny to talk to Buckeye fans. And I said, I was in a weird spot because I got a lot of friends that are Duck fans. And I always used to root for Michigan. Yeah. She goes, don't say that.
Not, you can't say it with an M. You can't say the M in Michigan around those people.
I said, I'm so sorry. She goes, were you rooting for us at least? And I said, I didn't really care. Yeah. I just wanted a good football game.
Just live up to the hype, man. And the game lived up to the hype. That's all you can ask
for. According to them, it did.
But we are stuck discussing one of these dumb storylines out of it. make it end, man. I didn't even see Pat Forty down there. Was he down there? Was he at the game? He's claiming
game.
He's on the elevator with coaches.
He was at the elevator.
Now, here's what I will say.
Not on the elevator. He's at the elevator. Because I think they let the coaches
They do not
go
let
first.
Media members ride elevators with coaches.
Yes.
It is a big thing where if you're trying to go down on the field at halftime
or
at the end of the game, they say, move out of the way.
Right.
Coordinators are coming through. I actually talked to one of the elevator gals at the game at Ohio State, who she got in trouble because she didn't wait for one of the coordinators from Michigan State. And so she took the elevator down. And then the guy, whoever it was, or I can't remember if it was offense coordinator or defense coordinator, but one of them that was up there was stuck waiting for the elevator to come back up and was like 5 minutes late getting into the locker room for halftime. And I told her, that's a pretty good home field advantage right there. Nobody's going to pat you on the back. You're probably getting in trouble, but I appreciate your effort. And I gave her a fist bump.
I would say this finally after reading the piece. Even if it wasn't intentional, how about let's just say Dan Lanning's really smart and knows how to capitalize on moments.
Yeah, I just also, how about one play with 4 seconds coming off the clock isn't the ultimate, I know it feels like it, it is not the ultimate decider in a football game. Maybe the big shots to Evan Stewart had something to do with it.
No.
Maybe the Derek Harmon fumble had something to do with
Terrence
it.
Terrence Ferguson third down pickups?
No
way.
Third down pickups maybe was part of it.
No.
Dylan Gabriel's touchdown run, maybe. No, having something, controlling the line of scrimmage, maybe.
A little more context. It was that one play, Dirt. Come on.
We all got to boil it down. One play at the end.
Well, it's a Football Friday here on The Fan. We will dive into, is Oregon on upset alert at all, or is this going to be a cakewalk in West Lafayette? I think it's a massive weekend for Trent Bray and Oregon State. We'll get to that. We'll talk about some of the other matchups locally. The Cougs wearing the throwback Butch uniforms this weekend. Can't wait to see those on the field. And the NFL slate is delightful. But on a Football Friday, of course, we have to start with all the good baseball.
Let's do it.
Baseball.
We finally got one moment.
Yeah.
We got a moment.
Well, we got two moments. Three moments? Maybe three.
Three moments-ish.
Three moments-ish. We'll start there. Dirt and Spray, good to be with you on this Friday on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod. That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll Alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, it's Friday, 'cause I've been working all week.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Spray.
Feeling like moving my feet.
On 1080 The Fan.
Here we go. All right, welcome back in. A Football Friday, Dirt and Spray here. Good morning, happy Friday. I've been game planning properly lately in the mornings to get ready, and so what I do is I'm kind of a caffeine addict at this point. It's probably why I will die early, and I have a double shot of espresso, and then I also have like an energy drink. And my wife drank all of my energy drink.
You didn't have the energy drink left.
So I'm only running on the espresso shots.
Uh-oh.
I think it's good enough.
Uh-oh.
We'll see.
Well, Swag's not back there to drink 37 cups of coffee, so there should be some coffee remaining in the building throughout the course of the morning.
He legitimately goes back and gets like 9 cups of coffee.
It's every other segment. He walks back to the kitchen to get a cup of coffee.
Guys can't get thirsty anymore? Come on now.
I mean, you could be thirsty. I just don't get not bringing your coffee. I think that's a free thing for him. We have free coffee, so he probably prefers to have it for free, but I like having my coffee right here so I don't have to get up 15 times a show.
The worst is if he's doing the 3-camera angle that Will is currently doing on YouTube. The worst is when he decides to do that angle and then he's caught yawning. Like, cool, way to make our radio show sound fun.
I got a talking to for gambling one time while I had the 3 thing on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you farting around on DraftKings? What are you doing over there?
I had hot bets I had to put in, man. I had winners.
That's what it is on a Football Friday, baby. We'll spray the line, by the way. I don't know if we'll get his picks, and if we don't, you're going to make his picks for him.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
That's the way it works.
All college football.
No, you got to go all NFL. We want 3 big little bets NFL.
No,
NFL
I'm not going
picks back. Only today.
Don't make me go shirtless
the rules.
Again.
Those
that
are
would
the
be
rules.
A shame.
You are going to pick NFL, and you're going to be half naked doing it.
It would be a shame if I had to take my shirt off.
At 8:30.
It would be a shame.
Will Ortner will pick Lions versus Vikings naked in the producer studio.
Dirt, I feel like if he unzipped that pink hoodie he's wearing, there's no shirt underneath.
There
I feel
is
like he
not.
Is mentally
there's probably
ready.
A pretty good high. Yeah, pretty good chance over there. That
he's ready.
Time to start doing push-ups, boys.
Yeah. Well, you don't get need ready. To. I can see the physique. It's standing out.
The pecs are there.
Let's get to the baseball stuff. Why have the Mets and Dodgers had such an awful series? I thought that was like a lock to be a good series.
Been one of the most unforgettable, unwatchable, I don't care series that I can ever remember in the history of the Major League Baseball playoffs. Coming in, you had New York, LA. Ratings were crazy for game one. Shohei Ohtani in this spot. He had another tank job last night, so you got that right out of the gate. That was fun to see. You've just had alternating blowouts. Well, not really alternating at this point. The Dodgers have stacked back-to-back blowouts. Imagine how much those tickets cost for Mets fans at Citi Field. In the last 2 games, by the time we've gotten to the 7th inning, the stadium has been empty. Every seat behind home plate, the people are gone. Like you cannot ask for a worse outcome in the Major League playoffs when you have a standalone game after the other one earlier is this crazy comeback. Oh, my God, home runs, madness. And then that one, by the time it's in the 5th inning, the game is over and everybody clicks the channel.
You mentioned on Monday's show how you couldn't handle the anxiety of your team maybe blowing the game to Ohio State, so you left.
Yes.
Now, you had a media credential.
I did.
I was watching that baseball game way too late into the night. Like, why am I still have this on my TV?
Yeah.
And I did notice they hit like a double down the line, and it's like the 7th or 8th inning. And I looked on the replay, and there was nobody in the first like 7 rows.
I got the hell out of there, man.
And I thought, okay, I get getting your ass kicked. It's not fun. But those tickets are not cheap either.
No.
I don't get the fan that leaves those kind of events at that point. Even if you knew the Mets weren't going to come back.
Which we did know.
They've shown so much ability to come back and have late drama that, like, isn't it worth it financially to stick around for one more inning?
You're probably right, but I think if you're spending that kind of money on those tickets
near
the front of the stadium, that's a drop in the bucket for you. I bet if you looked around, to your point, I bet the 300 level was full. later in the game. Like, I bet those people who are spending their hard-earned money on those tickets and, like, scraping together a couple of dollars, I guarantee you they stayed for most of the game.
Well, I'm just glad that they're about to be eliminated. I hate the Mets.
One more game today. Could be it.
No NL East team, please. That's all I care about. The other game ended up being good.
It did end up being good.
The Cleveland Guardians, the Cleveland G's, went up 3-1 going into the eighth.
Feeling great.
My boy Matthew Boyd gave up one run in five innings pitch.
Like, he was awesome.
He had a good night for himself.
They bring on their stud closer who nobody has been able to touch all season long in the eighth inning.
He, going into the playoffs, had not allowed a run since May.
Like, you can't hit the guy.
And suddenly the playoffs come and this guy is getting lit up a little bit. He walks Soto and then Aaron Judge finally does it. He finally has a playoff moment.
Yeah.
Homers. Tie game 3-3.
Oh, my God. Top of the eighth inning. Madness.
There we go. And then immediately after, Stanton comes up. Bam! He hits another shot. It is 4-3 Yankees.
Shock Stadium.
Going in the top of the eighth. They take the lead, go up 4-3. They add another. They go up 5-3.
Yeah.
And then Yoan Kenzie Noel. So they like Big Christmas is his nickname.
Yeah.
He steps up to the plate. There's two outs. There's a runner on, and this is what he does.
Last guy left on Stephen Vogt's bench. No time like the present. Swung out and hammered! High, deep to left! Away out of here!
So that was Tom Hamilton, the radio guy on WTAM.
That is such a great, that's such a great call.
That is a good call. Is this one better? How about this one for Yoan Kenzie Noel?
Feliz Navidad! Feliz Navidad! Acaba de empatar el encuentro la Navidad en octubre! ¡Qué bárbaro, qué monstruo!
Se puso la Navidad y no ha nevado todavía. Lo que cayó fue la explosión que le dijo ustedes si se pasaba Nate Thomas. Algo iba a pasar. La puso chiquitita. John Kenzie Noel. Gozándose empate este partido. Le dijo ustedes que esto no se ha acabado. Todavía una gran oportunidad. Qué clase de palo, mi gente.
I love a good Spanish call.
The Mo Bamba in the background hits pretty hard, too. Just a dude running the bases, tie the game, no big deal. Are we now that we're in the trust tree here on a Friday, and yeah. I figured I'd bookend the week the same way I started the week.
Okay.
I think I got a problem.
What do you got a problem for?
So Saturday night is...
You gambled on the Yankees.
No, I did not. Saturday night is an all-time classic finish. I thought my team was going to lose, and I left after they kicked the game, what was the game-winning field goal, thinking they're going to lose this game. I'm getting out of here. I don't want to watch my team lose.
I told those older Buckeye fans that you did that, and they couldn't believe it.
Couldn't believe it.
And I say, well, you haven't seen Oregon heartbreak losses.
There's been a lot of them. There's been a lot of them, and I don't want to witness another one, and I can't handle this pain. We are feeding the little guy last night in the kitchen. I had the entire game on. The entire Guardian-Yankee game was on my TV. I didn't sit down and watch the whole thing, but saw almost all of the game. Wife walks into the kitchen. I'm kind of getting dinner ready. Makes a comment like, hey, I thought football was on tonight. And I was like, oh, it is. I just haven't flipped over yet. I want to see the end of the game. It's 5-3. Guardians had a runner on first with nobody out in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's just see how this goes. Right as I make that comment, I want to see the end of the game. Next guy steps up, hits into a double play on the first pitch. Like the easiest double play I've ever seen turned. And I said, that's it. And I turned the game off. I'm not kidding you.
Shocking.
I turned the game off.
You've seen too much playoff
baseball.
Two
outs, nobody on base, 5-3. It's the Guardians. They just gave up the lead in the eighth. They gave up another run in the ninth. This thing's over. And I didn't even realize it until because I didn't have my phone. I wasn't looking on my phone.
Right.
45 minutes later, I'm like scrolling on Twitter and I see the highlight of the Noel home run. And I'm like, wait, what? And then I thought, is the game still going on? And then I pulled up my ESPN app and saw that they hit a walk-off home run. And I watched 99% of that game rooting for the Yankees to lose.
Right.
Bummed that the Yankees were going to win, turning the game off with two outs in the ninth inning. And
you,
missed all of the fun stuff.
You're on a heater.
I'm on a heater right
I'm
now.
I'm curious what game you will turn off that will end up turning around
there
even
will be
when you
one.
Think it won't.
There will be one this weekend. And I'm like, fourth quarter, that game's over. Click, and then you're going to find out they lost.
Final point on this, because it was nice to have a good playoff baseball game. We hadn't had that in what felt like forever.
Yes.
When I watched the highlight, because I missed this live, I was at my daughter's Travis cross country meet.
Yeah.
I was kind of shocked of the percentage of Indian gear I'm still seeing in that crowd versus Guardian gear.
I'm not surprised by
it's
that.
It's all over. These are also the same people that had Deshaun Watson gear or like he's innocent gear.
Yeah, I mean,
so just remember that. Okay. It's the same town.
People hold on to that stuff. That's, I mean,
I know.
Yeah.
But I'm not surprised at all by that. To see the highlights and like everybody's gear is like,
Chief Wahoo is all over that stadium
over the stadium.
People are not giving that one up. I'm sure the same thing is going on in Washington. I bet there's a lot of people that haven't moved on from the old football name.
Occasionally you still hear people say the name too.
Like, it still slips out for me all the time.
You just
I just
did it.
I see the name it's the first it was my entire life. It's what pops into my head.
So Cleveland at least making that series interesting. They're still down 2-1, but they win it in walk-off fashion in the 10th with the game-winning home run.
With the guy with maybe the best nickname in all the sports. Big Christmas and singing Feliz Navidad as he rounds the bases was pretty damn cool.
Yeah, Will, can you pull just the Feliz Navidad? Because I might want to use that as a drop in December.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. Feliz Navidad. Now we get these highlights to get spliced up with songs. So, like, Celine Dion is one with these big moments when they happen. Mariah Carey, people do it. And somebody spliced it last night, this home run, with just Feliz Navidad playing in the background.
It's delightful.
The entire time. It's a great song.
Hopefully that baseball series continues to be at least good. The Mets-Dodgers has been one of the biggest duds in sports this year.
Yeah, Yankees-Guardians will be going on at the same time as the Duck game, so I'll keep an eye on it on my phone probably, but not going to be glued to it unless it's close late.
It is a Football Friday, and we have a lot of football to get to, so let's get that going next. But first, Big Will with a sports update.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
See, I fell in love with Lucy the first
We will get to the football stuff.
I saw.
There is a lot of it to get to
and
today.
The way she shined.
We'll talk with our friend Taylor Estes. She works for 24/7. She used to cover Texas, and she's still, I think, in Texas, but she covers college football for 24/7. We'll talk about the Georgia-Texas game. We've got Alabama at Tennessee, her thoughts on Oregon's win after Ohio State, how it's all going to shake out. So we'll catch up with T-Bone coming up at 7:30 today. I think it's a massive weekend for Trent Bray. We'll get to that. Dan Lanning and the Ducks, is there any percentage chance? What would the percentage chance be of Purdue beating Oregon tonight? I put it at less than one. I think Dirt's at like a 38% chance.
Yeah, 39 maybe. You never know. All hands on deck tonight.
Oh, it's a tough one. But it's going to be a shorter one here, so I guess I'll just... This is a random story that I didn't think would be popping up at this point. It's October 18th, and yesterday, Tony Bennett announced he's retiring from Virginia men's basketball.
Absolutely wild. Out of nowhere, complete left field. And somebody had the best tweet of the day, and that was that similar to his basketball teams, he ran the shot clock all the way down right before the start of the season. They just had ACC Media Days last week.
They did. So I didn't see follow. I saw some comments and on tweets, and I didn't see any like concrete reporting.
Why he did it?
Yeah, is he sick?
No, he's not sick. It's not health-related. I know that.
Okay, because some people were like in the comments like, oh, hope you get better, coach, thinking of you and your family. And there was also somebody who wrote a piece about how Jay Wright was a big friend of his, a mentor in a way. And so retiring early isn't necessarily shocking. It's just like when he's deciding, like he's kind of just screwed Virginia.
He absolutely screwed Virginia. Their players, they have a 30-day transfer window that opens, but I don't know if you can even transfer it. Like, who's going to have a spot for you? I guess you can kick a kid off scholarship if you want somebody on their team.
I don't think at this point that's happening.
So that's kind of weird. There was somebody came out because, again, ACC Media Days were literally last week.
Yeah.
And somebody asked him, excuse me, at ACC Media Days about Jay Wright. You mentioned they're good friends and said, hey, Jay Wright retired. A lot of people have said if there's somebody else in the sport that would pull a Jay Wright and seemingly walk away while they're still in the prime of their career, your name gets thrown out there a bunch. And Tony Bennett gave a very thoughtful answer on it about the landscape of the sport and is this something that I really want to do? Do I want to bend my morals of ways of wanting to do things, but if I do it my way, I probably won't be able to win at the highest level that I want to. He gave like a really thoughtful, detailed answer, and the writer who wrote the story or asked him that question had the quote and tweeted it out yesterday. He was like, this is weird. He just said this last week.
Wow.
And he, I think in the answer, had said, I need to call Jay and ask why he actually walked away. Like, that was a part of his answer, and then you get this a week later of, I'm gone. I'm not doing this anymore.
Well, they won the title, and they had that great redemption story after losing as a one seed to a 16. But post that title,
he has the craziest tournament run we've ever seen, because they, I believe his last six tournament wins, or how many wins do you need in the tournament to win
six.
A title? Six.
It's six.
His last six tournament wins, the only, like, they all came in that year. Every other year he was in the tournament over the last 7 years or whatever, he lost in the first round.
Yeah, it was interesting because Cougar fan also had a response to this. He gave them some of the best years in their basketball sports lives.
Klay Thompson had a comment on him yesterday and put out a post for him.
So it very random to do this at this point. And again, if there's something that we find out, there's a family issue or something, then okay. But
I'm pretty sure everybody's confirmed that this is not health-related in any way, shape, or form.
If that's the case, so let's just cover every base here. If that's the case, there's nothing like in that regard, he completely railroaded them. Now, you also could say, did he do this because he knew his team was going to suck? Because they have not competed very well. He runs a very boring style of basketball. I would argue if I was a player, I wouldn't be thinking about the portal. I'd be thinking about, great, now we can finally have fun. Like, his offense is kill the clock and pass and shoot after 40 seconds. I would be more excited today as a player just from the offensive standpoint. Fun fact about the ACC now with him retiring, it's the first time since 81-82 that no coach in that conference has a national championship.
Oh, boy, that's a fun little stat.
A lot of that is, you know, Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski and all of that, but it's just kind of crazy. Like, that
Boeheim
conference.
Who walked, when did he walk away? 2 years ago, did Boeheim walk away? Was that longer than that?
No, I think it was about 2 years
ago. About 2 years ago, yeah.
So overall, just like, it's kind of crazy how long that conference has at least had a national championship winner. Now we'll see. Maybe Shire does it. He's recruiting out of his mind. Cooper Flagg is at Duke. UNC's been good. Maybe somebody will get one, but first time since 81-82.
Wild stat. His run in the tournaments, 2018, number one team in the country, lost in the first round, 116.
We were live on air when that went down.
We were. They won the title then in 19 and found their way. 2020, no postseason, COVID year. 21, lost in the first round of the tournament. 22, they went to the NIT. And then the last 2 years, they lost in the first, or 2 years ago, they lost in the first round. Last year, they lost in the first four. They didn't even really get to the first round.
They were
the first four exit.
No, it's good post the title.
It's a horrible brand of basketball to watch.
It's hard to recruit that.
I've seen some people speculate that I don't know, I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head that they promoted to head coach, but he's a good friend, and this was a kind of wink, wink, nod, nod. If I delay this thing long enough, they're not really going to have a choice here. And so you're going to be given the head coaching job. And so I'll
wait.
Again,
that's kind
of until the end
up.
Of the year. It's completely messed up. It's just weird.
To the university, not the friend.
No, and to the players, though, who signed up to play for Tony Bennett. And now, again, they have a 30-day window, but I just don't know how that works. The season starts in like two, like media days are happening. Their first games are in like 2 weeks, man. It's almost here.
Yeah, Oregon State had their media day yesterday, the WCC. I was like, wow, imagine a coach leaving right now.
A week after. This would be like next week, Wayne Tinkle saying, you know what, I'm done. I know I was just talking about my team last week. I'm out. I don't want to do it anymore.
What if he wasn't even thinking about it, and then that reporter asked the question? He goes, you know
what? And then he thought about it?
Calls Jay Wright. Jay Wright's like, man, I work for like 4 months out of the year. I'm on a beach the rest of the time. This is great. I don't have to recruit.
It's a wild story, man.
Calls his financial advisor, how much do I have in savings? Like, what's my 401k look like?
I think we're okay.
Tony Bennett retiring abruptly from Virginia. Had a great run at Washington State, obviously won a national championship at UVA. All right, let's get to the football now. We'll dive into Oregon at the top of the hour. Oregon State at 7:15. Some interesting things to look forward to this weekend. We start next on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
I'm going to need your help, Dirt.
What, you want to slap the bass?
Slapping the bass. You always got to slap it up here.
Yeah, you got to do it. You got to go up high. You can't slap the bass low. You got to slap the bass up high.
No, I need your help. I have I've read a little bit, heard some of the takes on it. I am having a hard time wrapping my brain around this idea that Texas is going to take care of Georgia.
I am too.
And I think this is largely because of just the recent history of things, right? So Georgia has won a couple championships. Georgia goes into the year and everybody says, well, Georgia and everybody else. It's kind of the feeling. That was the feeling I thought kind of going in. It was a lot of hype for Texas and Oregon, Ohio State. But Georgia was largely looked at as like different. And then we watch them lose to Bama. And maybe I'll be proven wrong come Monday's show. Georgia's a 5.5-point underdog right now.
This line has moved in a hurry.
And so I think a lot of people want to bet Georgia, and I certainly understand why we like Texas, but I'm just having a hard time wrapping my brain around this idea that Texas might win this game by double digits. There's just a feel and a vibe that you're getting.
Yeah.
Of like, oh no, Texas is the better team. And that might be true.
Could be.
But I have not, the Texas being better than Georgia thing has not hit me yet, and maybe it will come Monday's show.
You know how I go about my sports. There's a part of me that always has to see it to believe it. And so while I understand the arguments, I understand the metrics, I understand how talented Texas is, and I wouldn't be shocked at all if they won the game, this whole they're going to dominate and they're clearly better head and shoulders than Georgia is what I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around. I think the question comes back to, because Georgia hasn't really, if you look at what they've done since their loss to Alabama, everybody thought this would be a launching point for them. Oh, now they're going to be pissed. They're going to be motivated. The next week, they kind of farted around with Auburn a little bit. And Auburn's not terrible. They just turned the ball over a ton. Eventually pulled away. But it was a one-score game for most of the game. And then last week, they gave up 31 points to Mississippi State. Which, is that just a look-ahead spot? Is that just you're down? I don't really know how to compute those games in my head. And I think it comes back to the question of the Alabama game. Do you believe in Georgia in the first half or Georgia in the second half? Like the team that got shell-shocked and punched in the face and fell down 28-0. Because if you told me that was going to happen going into that game, I would have called you an idiot and said there's no chance in hell that takes place. But they found their way back into the game. Did they find their way back into the game because Alabama was playing loose coverage? We're up by 30. Let's just not give up any big plays. And then next thing you know, they find their rhythm. And we see that happen all the time in football games. Like, I think it comes down to those questions, but Georgia has not had inspiring performances the last 2 weeks, I think, to make me say, oh yeah, they're definitely going to go in there and win. But in the back of my mind, they're still Georgia and they're still the most talented team in the country.
And it's also Kirby and Sark.
Yeah.
And I know Sark is good. I know Sark has turned the tide a little bit for Texas here, but it's been what? 1 year of the playoff?
One playoff year. Yeah.
You lost to Washington. They lost to Oklahoma last year.
They did.
You know, I don't know what it is. I can't wrap my brain around it. I think it's a combination of one program and their established success, and the other one trying to rise back to an established of success. And I think it's the coaching stuff. So I'm just going to go into this, and I'm going to say Sarkisian's just going to completely outcoach Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm ready for any of this. Texas
weird.
Certainly is one of the best teams in college football. I would not deny that. And you can see, you saw the physical talent difference when they played Michigan. Even though Michigan is somewhat down, it was still alarming to watch them push Michigan the way they did.
Yeah, they dominated the line of scrimmage.
But to do it against Georgia, I'm so excited for this game. I'm excited for the college football slate, but I'm really excited because my mind has not separated Texas from Georgia. In fact, I'm kind of preparing to see Georgia win because everybody's telling me Texas is going to handle them or beat them or this is where the matchups are, that I don't know if I'm ready to accept it until the final horn goes off and Texas wins the game.
I think part of the thinking too has to do with, we've seen two of these massive games early in the year and the home crowd has had a big impact on the game. Alabama, Georgia in the first half, that was an insane atmosphere. And it took a while for Georgia to kind of settle into it, and they really didn't until the second half. And I was at Autzen last week and I know the impact that crowd had on that game. So that's the other part of this, is the game is in Austin, and if it was in Athens, we'd probably feel differently. I have this hope that there's a lot of really good teams at the top of the sport this year, but there's not one that is head and shoulders above everybody else.
But if Texas beats Georgia the way people think,
then they're that team. They're that team because every other team in the country has shown a vulnerability. Georgia's done it. My team's undefeated, but they barely beat Idaho and Boise the first 2 weeks. Ohio State just lost a game. Like, everybody has shown, even Penn State going on the road and struggling a little bit and having to come back to beat USC.
Yeah, Aller threw three picks.
One lost teams and undefeated teams have all had a bit of a blip on their radar. And it's too strong to say that Texas hasn't played anybody. We've had a lot of pushback on that this week. It's not true. They had to go on the road to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Some teams can't win there. They did have to play Oklahoma in a rivalry game that has had like 10 straight years of one-score rivalry games, no matter how good or bad the teams are. I would argue they have not played an elite team yet, and that to me is a fact. I don't view Michigan and Oklahoma as true top 25 teams by the end of the year. So now is where the rubber meets the road, because we did this with Ohio State last week. They were beating everybody by 50, even at times not looking at their best, pulling away and looking like one of the most dominant teams in the country, and then they faced their first buzzsaw. The difference, again, though, was that game was on the road for them, and this game is at home for Texas. It feels weird. It feels dirty. I'm kind of rooting for Georgia.
Really?
I am. I want everybody to have a vulnerability. And if Texas wins this game by 17 or 20 points,
this gets Georgia
and they pull
closer
away,
to being eliminated. I would think as a Duck fan, you have to take into account what's best for you. And Georgia still gets into the playoff if they finish with two losses, even if they don't go to the SEC title game.
Oh, without a doubt. They might even be in with three.
But they become well.
No, don't do they.
No. I'm not saying it's impossible, but you become incredibly vulnerable at two. You lose one more, and I think they have Ole Miss and Tennessee on their schedule. I think they're going to be out at three. I think three is the cutoff this year. Now, three getting in wouldn't shock me, but two is like, we're on our last leg.
Yep.
We cannot afford any more.
You're on life support.
And I would just think as a Duck fan, you would actually be rooting for what's better for you. And I would say what's better
for
you.
How is Texas blowing out better Georgia, though, better for me? If Texas
you get Georgia
looks
closer to not being in the playoff. I just don't want Georgia in the playoff.
But if Texas is that big of a monster
then
to do that,
then they're the one seed and you don't play them in the first round. You don't play them in the second round.
I mean, that would hopefully be the case. But
so,
you don't know if Oregon's going to win the Big Ten. You don't know what seed they're going to get.
But
like, I have no clue how that's going to play out.
But the season's about attrition. And we don't know what teams are going to stay healthy all the way through. That's what this could boil down to, like it does in the NFL.
Very welcome.
And I would just think even if Texas looks the part, you as a Duck fan would say, I want Georgia at least gone. And I'm not saying you need a pom-pom wave there for the Longhorns. I get why you're saying Georgia. I would just rather not have Georgia involved. Even if they look vulnerable, there's still a lot of Georgia that I don't want any part of. I don't want any part of Kirby Smart and his defensive prowess. And last time you saw Georgia play Oregon, I know that's a different team, a different time.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel good. And so, like, I would just think you'd want Georgia closer to being out of the dance than being in the dance.
I think the reality of this game, though, is that if Texas does it to Georgia this weekend, they are Georgia. That is the new Georgia.
Win a title.
Sure, that's fine. We did that to Kirby 3 years ago and said, win a title and wake me up when you do it. And then he won back to back.
It's harder to win a title.
Sark might do it twice in a row. So we'll see how it all plays out. But that's my thought as well.
That's a good poll question. What way should Duck fan be leaning, Texas or Georgia? I think it's Georgia. You're rooting for Texas this week. Or you're rooting for Georgia?
I'm rooting for Georgia. I want everybody to look vulnerable. Georgia's already looked vulnerable. They might still be the best team in the country. But I want everybody to have a vulnerability. And Texas has not shown it yet.
It is a loaded second hour. A lot of Ducks, a lot of Beavers. We've got Taylor Essis down in Austin. Talk about that game and others this week. And Dirt's break back with more Hour 2 on The Fan.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.